Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. You put up the whole Romans 8, okay? I don't know where we're going, but we're going. Amen. And yes, Sister Erin said I normally run us through a confession about Romans 8. The Holy Ghost told me not to do it this morning because she had something she wanted to share. And she did. So praise God for listening to the Spirit. Amen. And I'm going to trust Him now because I ain't got no notes.
Amen.
All I got's what He's got. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8. We can begin with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Where's the condemnation then? Who's under condemnation if there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ? The rest of the world. Those who have not chosen to receive Him as Lord. They are under condemnation. They are judged already, according to the Scripture. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, I'm working on my doctorate right now, and one of the three items I have to cover in that particular doctorate paper is the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and the Mosaic Law. Those are the three things that's in my doctorate. And you know what? There's a lot out there that we haven't even really covered. The law, a law is something that, whether it's written or not, when it's applied, will always produce the same results. Now, did you get that? A law, the law of gravity, for instance, when it's applied, will always produce something falling. But an airplane overcomes the law of gravity. It overcomes it through a greater law with a greater power. Now, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, when Eve partook of the fruit, whatever it was, I don't believe it was an apple, because I love apples. The Bible doesn't tell you what kind of fruit it was. It says it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and whatever that tree's fruit was. But when man fell in the Garden of Eden, a new law came into existence governing mankind. And that law was the law of sin and death. He stepped out from under the protection of God by being disobedient to God's word. They were disobedient because God said, you can do anything you want in this garden, have from any tree in this garden except that one. Now, he could have said, you can only take from these two or three, and you have to leave everything else alone. But He's a generous God. He said, you can have everything in this garden except that one tree. You can't touch it, eat from it, or in any way have it. And man was disobedient. Whether he was influenced by an outside influence, whether it came from his heart, I don't believe it came from his heart, because I believe man was built in God's image, created in God's image and His likeness, and I don't believe that God put anything evil in him. And so I don't believe man chose to disobey God. I believe he was influenced by an outside influence. Can I prove it? Kind of, but you have to believe. Amen? But when man fell, it was mankind that fell, not just Adam and Eve. If you were to do your genealogy search rather complete and there was enough records, you would find that Adam and Eve are some great, 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 great grandparent of yours. I know, I've been searching mine. You got to understand grandparents. You got two, then you got four, then you got eight. It exponentially grows. Adam and Eve are my great something grandparents. Somewhere, somehow. They have to be if they were the only man and woman that God populated the earth with, right? So when man fell, all of mankind fell. The Bible even backs that up. If in one Adam fell, in the second Adam, all are made right. So when that new law came into effect, called the law of sin and death, We're under sin and death. We have a sin nature now. I don't care who you are, where you were born, how you were raised, you have a sin nature. Period. Over and out. The only way you can overcome that law of sin and death is to accept Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you do that, a new law takes effect. A law that has greater power than the law of sin and death. Just like that law of aerodynamics overcomes the law of gravity, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus overcomes the law of sin and death. And when I say it overcomes, I mean it no longer has any effect on your life as long as you abide in Christ Jesus. Okay? If you step out of Christ Jesus, if you step out of the Spirit and walk in the flesh, that law will then apply. Because you've taken yourself out from under God's covering, whether it's momentarily or whether it's for a long time, doesn't matter. And when you step out from under His covering, that law of sin and death now applies. Just like if for some reason that airplane loses thrust, the law of aerodynamics is now negated and the law of gravity takes over and it begins to fall. How many of you have ever been in an airplane and felt it drop? That was a lack of the aerodynamic law on the wings of the aircraft for a moment. Sometimes it's an air pocket and the plane recovers. Sometimes it's because the plane lost thrust and it's going down. Ask Captain Sullenberger what happens when you lose both engines. He landed in the Hudson River because he had no power. The law of gravity took over on that airplane. Well, the law of sin and death will take over in your life anytime you step out from under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that that law always covers you. And that's where a lot of people make their mistake. They get in there and they think, I'm a Christian now. This other stuff doesn't apply. Bull. You want me to say that again? Bull. It does apply. Your flesh. You were born of Adam. You have the sin nature within you. That's why in Romans there, Paul talks about he's fighting within himself. That which I wish to do, I don't. That which I should do, I can't. That which I want to do, I can't. That which I should do, I'm not doing. What's going on in me? The sin nature has risen up and it's taken over, and he's got to learn how to put it back down. And that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when you get under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and you walk in it, nothing from the old man can affect you. Do I believe that? Absolutely. Does it happen all the time? Absolutely not. It's a positional truth you have to walk out. Okay, let me read it again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's made me free. It doesn't say I am free. There's something I have to do. I have to live by it. I have to walk it out. I have to believe that it's true. That's called faith. I walk by faith, not by sight. I walk by faith, not by touch, not by feel. I eat by faith that the things I eat are not going to be harmful to me. Let me tell you something. If you dine out nowadays, oh, you better be praying over your food. I've read some stories about things going on in kitchens. Oh, you don't want to hear them. You better be praying over your food if you're eating out because you don't know what's going into it. When you prepare it yourself, you do. I'm not against dining out. We're going out today. But I'm going to pray over my food. Amen. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, sin nature's weak, it can't do it. When I clean my life up, I'll come to Jesus. Sorry, can't do it. You need the Spirit of Christ in you to clean your life up. Just come to Jesus as you are. He'll take care of it. I know. Been there, done that. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. Say, God did. How did He do it? By sending His own, and it should say, only Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He let Jesus take our sin nature that we were born with and deal with it for us. Do you understand that? Pastor C said when she was up here, you have to understand what He's done for us, what He's given us. Oh, Lordy me, what did He give me? He gave me the ability to walk in divine health, to walk in prosperity, to walk free of sickness and disease, to walk where people can't go, to go into places that I would never go in the natural. I would have never went to Africa in the natural, people. God still told me in prayer I was going, or I wouldn't have went. And when He told me I was going, then I knew I was covered. Amen? Would I go back again? Only if He tells me to. I will not go back to that place unless He tells me to. If He tells me to, it's fine. Because I'm in His will. Amen? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh, God did by sending His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. See, because it's here. I don't. When I hear people say, "Well, I never sin," that's right. You may never sin. I doubt it, though. We're human. But you have a sin nature by inheritance from Adam. Like it or not. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. So, this is how the law of sin and death works. God condemned sin in the flesh. What are you made of? Flesh. You inherited the sin nature from Adam. Your flesh has been condemned. It's going to die. Guaranteed, it's going to die. That part of the law and sin and of the law of sin and death will still apply. The flesh will die. But God made us new by giving us a new spirit. Over in Ezekiel it says He took out our stony heart and gave us a heart. It says a flesh in the word, but you know what that really was? Spirit. He gave us a heart of spirit so that we could connect with Him, so that we could walk out what He had prepared for us to live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, hold your place. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm telling you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. See, Jesus set us free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Amen. I claim that. I'm free. Therefore, I'm going to walk in the liberty which Christ has made available to me. He's not going to force it on you. God doesn't force anything on anybody. You must receive it. And I'm not going to let that sin man, that sin nature, return. That's going to entangle me with the things going on out there. You know? And, you know, it's easy. You get caught up every once in a while and you find yourself being entangled by those things out there. I let this last presidential election get me off course a little bit. God straightened me out. Amen. I pray for the president. I pray that God will give him the wisdom and the judgment to run this country the next 4 years. And if not, He'll put some advisors in there that will advise Him so. Because He's got to listen too. Back to what we're doing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, you will profit nothing. And I'm not going to go any further there, because what he's talking about is accepting one of the things out of the old Mosaic law. And people, the Mosaic law is more than 10 commandments. Okay? The Mosaic law is 613 or 614 laws or directives channeled upon the children of Israel. Okay? There was a ton of them. We look at the Ten Commandments and we think it's Mosaic law. No, that's the Ten Commandments given to Moses. There's 600 and some Mosaic laws. Okay? If you accept one of them and try to live by it, you have to live by all of them. That's what Paul's talking about. If you think getting circumcised because the law says the male Jews had to be circumcised is going to fulfill the law for you, what about the other 612? You're under them now. No. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He has set me free of the law of sin and death, and that includes the Mosaic law. Do I have to live according? Jesus gave us two laws. And he said, in these, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled. That's the Mosaic law in its entirety. And anything else that any of the old time prophets said, we had to do. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and love the Lord with your whole heart, spirit, and soul. And in these, you fulfilled all of that. And then, on the cross, he said, it's finished. I've done it. You don't have to do it. What do you think he was talking about when he said it's finished? A lot of people have a lot of different things. And there's probably a lot of things that he really finished. But I know one of them was the law. It's finished. Does that mean I don't have to do it? Yeah, but I do it. This is what's interesting. When you do the two laws Christ gives you, you fulfill all of that other without even thinking about it, without even trying. He made it easy. You don't have to memorize Ten Commandments. You don't have to memorize 613 Levitical laws, which really only applied to the children of Israel anyways. But we have been grafted in. Therefore, we would be under them. He gave you two easy, simple laws. All you got to do is remember them. All you got to do is do them. You don't even have to remember them. Just do them. Back to Romans chapter 4. Romans 8, chapter 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. I'll get it right yet. I'm not listening. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. See, we still have our part to do. It's fulfilled for us if we walk in the Spirit. It's really easy to walk in the Spirit, really. I find it hard to walk by the flesh anymore. Because as soon as I start to, it goes, eh. Turn on something wrong on the TV, eh. It goes off right away. I mean, and you can turn on something wrong on the regular channels right now without having cable. They've gotten terribly bad. I'm talking about the ones that used to be, they couldn't even say certain words that was normal in my life then. John, chapter 8, one verse. Hold your place. Don't go away. John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus removes you from darkness. It removes you from darkness, places you in the light, for the world to see. What are you doing? You're weird now. What happened to you? Good, I'm glad you think so. You can call me weird all you want. Something did happen to me. I gave my life to Jesus. And He changed me when I couldn't. When I was still at work, that's what I heard. Because when I went to work, in the last place I worked, I went to work there not walking with Christ. Within a couple of years, I gave my life back to Christ and started walking with Him, and people thought I was weird. What happened to you? Come sit down. Let me tell you what happened to me. You can call me weird all you want, as long as you let me share with you. I had a Navy captain in uniform come by my cubicle, and he pointed at a sign I had on the side of my cubicle that he could see walking down the aisle. And he goes, "Do you get away with having up there?" I go, "It's there, isn't it?" He goes, "I got fired from a job for the same kind of thing." And all it said was, "I love Jesus." On the side of my cubicle so that it could be seen from the hallway walking down the hall. It wasn't there for me. It was there for people to see. He got fired. And in the Navy, if you're an officer, when he says fired, he's not going to get promoted. If he got fired from a job, that goes on his record, they will not promote, especially from a captain up. He's out when his enlistment's up then. That's just the way it is. Why did he get fired for that? He was just expressing how he felt. I would have fought it. But then, some people don't care. I would say his conviction wasn't as high as mine. That's what I would say. That's just, am I judging him? No. I don't do that. Okay. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 again. And let's go down now to verse 5. Let's read 4 again. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. See, that's what happens. When you're not walking in the Spirit and you're walking in the flesh, you set your mind on the things of the flesh. And once you set your minds on the things of the flesh, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do the things of the flesh. Because now your mind is going to control what you're doing. How many times a day do you eat normal meals? Most of us, 3. Some people snack and do in-betweens. How many times a day do you feed your spirit? Once, maybe? Twice, maybe? Did mine quit? I fed my spirit man before I went to work, obviously. Had to. Because if you're going to go into the world and be around all those worldly people for 8 hours a day, you've got to build your spirit man up first. And I try at home now to feed my spirit man. You know, it doesn't seem like much, but you'll sit down and you'll open up something about the Word and you'll start reading it. Or you'll pick up your Bible and you'll start reading it. Or I'll go read Brother Mark's post on Facebook where he updated his status. Brother Mark's been posting some awesome new statuses with a lot of scripture in them. I don't know if they're for him inside or if they're for people reading, but they've been getting good. Okay, believe it or not, I'm feeding my spirit when I'm reading anything that's scripture. You know, I work on my doctorate paper. You know, that's a lot of work, but guess what? I have to feed my spirit to work on it. I have to read and research. And most of that reading and research is scriptural or scriptural based. You know, I might read somebody else's. You know, like I've read Benny Hinn's "Good Morning, Holy Spirit." I'm reading right now "Welcome, Holy Spirit" from Benny Hinn. I like Brother Benny Hinn. He's got some good books. F.F. Bosworth. You know, I've just got books, but when you open them, your spirit just comes alive because they're scriptural based. And you might see something based on what that person said that you aren't getting some other way. That's why it's good for different people to teach. Pastor Don's awesome. He's got lots in him. Can feed you much. sometimes it doesn't come out of him right for a certain person. Or sometimes that bunny trail, he does a lot of bunny trails. You forget what he was doing and you miss it. So it's good for other people to teach. You know, I don't consider myself a preacher. I consider myself a teacher. Sometimes the Holy Ghost says, no, today we're going to preach. I don't know what it is today because I don't have any notes. Amen. So let's go back. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. When you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you know, when I was still working, I did a lot of my work right at my desk, in my cubicle, in front of a computer. I can type, I can read, and I can pray in the Holy Ghost at the same time. And I learned that. What am I doing? I'm feeding my spirit. I'm setting my mind on the things of the Spirit. Well, won't you make mistakes in your work? No, the Holy Ghost won't let me make mistakes. See, because I'm devoting my spirit to Him, He'll see that I don't make mistakes. In fact, the work will probably be better grade than it would be if I wasn't praying in the Holy Ghost while I was doing it. Because I'm setting my mind on the things of the Spirit, even though I'm doing things of the flesh. See, you think because you have a job and you have to work 8 hours a day that you can't have time to feed your spirit, you're wrong. You have 8 hours a day that you could be feeding your spirit while you work. You don't have to speak out loud. You can pray quietly in tongues. You can pray without praying in tongues without your mouth even moving. You know that? Because it's spirit-led prayer. It's not natural. You don't have to hear it. The people around you don't have to hear it. But you can feed your spirit. And that's what you've got to do if you're going to experience the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in your life. You have got to walk by the Spirit. You've got to live by the Spirit. Everything you do has to be led by the Spirit. The moment you get off from underneath Him, you're back under the law of sin and death. And the flesh is going to have to deal with it then. And I said earlier, it doesn't matter, the law of sin and death does apply to this flesh all the time in the fact that we will once as a physical body die. But it doesn't have to apply to your day-to-day walk. It doesn't have to apply. You do not have to get colds and flu just because it's a cold and flu system season. And just because the news says the cold and flu season's here. No, it ain't. Not in my life, not in my house. I walk according to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You know, when I was working on my bathroom, I caught my hand in the table saw. I remember telling everybody about it. But you know what? My angels were there listening when this happened, and they jerked my hand back before the table saw could take anything off, because that blade was extended all the way that far above the table and spinning at full power. And the little piece of wood I had in my hand didn't protect me. Of what it did is it jerked my hand down into the blade, and I felt my hand being pulled back out. I actually felt it being pulled out. I don't think I ever said that to anybody. But I believe that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus caused my angels, who were always present around me, not to prevent me from doing it, because they will not prevent you from doing what your mind says it's going to do. He told me not to do it, and I did it anyways. But He still protected me from losing life or limb. Amen. I chose for that one instant to step out from under the life and go with the flesh, and I got hurt. The law of sin and death took effect for that instant until that angel jerked my hand out. What can I say? Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. When you start feeding your spirit more often, your spirit will get hungrier. Unlike the flesh, which when you feed gets full and doesn't want to eat. The more you feed your spirit, the hungrier your spirit will get.
That's right.
If you're feeding it the correct stuff.
That's right.
The more you're going to want the things of God. The more you're going to want to see miracles happen. The more you're going to want to walk in divine health. That's what it's about. That's what He wants. That's what the church today is missing. They're missing how to walk according to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Why? That's why we're not seeing miracles happen on a day-to-day basis in our lives. That's why when Brother Matt walks by somebody that's down and out and injured, they don't jump up and start walking. Not picking on you, brother. Doesn't happen for me either. Because I'm not believing for it, number one. Because I'm not feeding my spirit enough. My spirit isn't hungry enough for it. It's getting there. It's getting there. I want to see people healed just when I look at them. I don't have to touch them because they ain't me. It's the power of God working through me. I don't want no glory except God's glory. But I want to see people healed. I want to see people delivered. I want to see people turn their lives over to God. I want to see people that I'm not seeing in these chairs, back in these chairs.
Amen.
They're not here because they don't have a desire to be here serving God. God, I pray right now for those that aren't here that you put a desire in their hearts for more of you. A desire to love you, to want you, to seek you with all their heart. And if it means showing up on Sunday morning, to be here on Sunday morning, or Wednesday night, or Tuesday night, or Thursday night, or whatever night. When two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in their midst. It doesn't matter where we're at. Church is us. Church is where we come together. Amen? Praise God. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Well, the law of sin and death takes over. It's a law. Anytime it's applied, the same thing is going to happen. If you go up on the roof of this building and walk off the roof, the same thing is going to happen every time you do it until you take some other kind of action to prevent it. Gravity is going to make you fall. You put on a safety harness and make sure the rope isn't as long as the fall to the ground, you won't hit the ground. But gravity will still take effect. Just like that airplane, they lose their forward thrust power, they're going down. They have to trade altitude for speed to keep the aerodynamic lift of overcoming the law of gravity. Sometimes they don't have enough altitude left to do that safely and find a place to land, and they crash. Jesse Duplantis has been through 3 airplane crashes and is walking around talking about it. I'll bet he was praying the whole time. And he made a statement once. He said, you know what? As soon as somebody announced something was wrong with the airplane, he says, everybody in the airplane said, oh, God, oh, Jesus. He said, even the Muslims. They didn't say Allah. They said God. Because their spirit spoke. Enough of that. Let's go back to where we're going. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Not just life, but peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's also peace. There's also peace. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of order and He's a God of peace. He's not a God of war. He doesn't go around making war on people. You know, people think God, if you screw up, he's gonna throw a thunderbolt at you or something. No, that was Satan falling. That wasn't God. God is a forgiving God. All He asks is that you come to Him and ask for forgiveness. He says, come to me All you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me and confess your sins, and I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Not some. It says all unrighteousness. He will set you apart from the things that made you unrighteous, so that you can once again dedicate yourself to Him. Because when you're unrighteous, you really can't dedicate yourself to Him and communicate with Him like you need to. Sin and God don't mix. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. I don't know why they didn't just say an enemy. I had to go look that word up the first time I read it. I didn't understand it. Just say enemy. For the carnal mind is an enemy against God. They're against each other. They fight. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. The carnal mind, we're talking about someone who's allowing the sin nature they inherited from Adam to control their lives. That's what the carnal mind is. When you let the sin nature that you inherited from Adam at his fall in the garden come into your life, then you let your carnal mind start controlling you. And everybody, I don't care who you are, has a sin nature. You may never sin. I doubt it. We're flesh. I said this once before. But you have that sin nature. But we have a law that overcomes that sin nature. And that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. How do you please God? You walk by faith. How do you walk by faith? You have to be in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, you can't be in the flesh. Therefore, you please God. If you're in the flesh, you don't please Him. So every time you screw up and do something in the flesh, you're not pleasing God. You think He's happy about that? How come He hasn't thrown a lightning bolt at you? I thought God punished people when they did wrong. Isn't that what a lot of people believe? The only thing God's ever done to me when I've done something wrong is spoke to me. Correction. He'll tell you, I don't like that. He'll tell you, I don't want you to do that again. He'll tell you, now, you know, that wasn't right. You better go apologize to that person, tell them you're sorry. That's not your conscience. That's the still, small voice of your Creator talking to you. And you better heed it. Because it's until you do what He just told you to, you're in disobedience to Him. And He can't help you when you're in disobedience. His hands are tied at that point. He has to be freed also by your obedience. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. How do you know if the Spirit of God dwells in you? You born again? If you're born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Ezekiel, once again, Ezekiel said God will take out that stony heart, put in a heart of flesh. That fleshy heart that He puts back in is really a heart of Spirit, His Spirit. So He can communicate with you. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Well, duh. That's pretty good, pretty easy to understand. If I haven't accepted Him, I'm not of Him. You know, just because I go to church every single Sunday and have since I was as old as I can remember, because my parents made me go with them, doesn't make me a Christian.
That's right.
Doesn't make me His.
That's right.
If I have not received Christ as my Lord, I do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. I don't care how many hours you've spent in the pew at church. You know about Him. You don't know Him. I know Him. And He knows me. And He stands before the Father every time the devil brings an accusation to the Father about me. And He goes, no. Dad, that one's mine. Pastor Duane, he belongs to me. Doesn't matter what the devil's saying. I already took care of it. He's mine. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead. Now, wait a minute. I'm dead? How come I'm walking? How come I'm talking? How come I'm breathing if the body's dead? Because I'm alive in Christ. Now, the body being dead is also a positional truth. It will one day be dead, for real. And I'll have the most super glorified body you have ever seen, free of anything that this earth has put on this one. Amen. But I can have most of that right here today. He said I could have heaven on earth. I could have heaven on earth. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free of the law of sin and death. There's no sickness or disease in heaven. I can have heaven here on earth. Therefore, if I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there's no sickness or disease in my life. Whoa. Did you get it? Do you understand it? Are you walking in it? Now, that doesn't mean sickness and disease isn't going to try and come. Pastor sees during the offering, you have to disengage this thing from the things coming at you and engage it with the Spirit until you hear nothing of this that's coming on out here. Creflo Dollar, prior to 1997 sometime, was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And he told his doctor, I do not receive that. I know the system. And he went home. He told just his wife. And he said, now I'm going to take my healing videos, my healing scriptures, and a jug of water, and I'm locking myself in that room, and I ain't coming out until I'm healed. Took 3 days. Took 3 days. He's a pastor. How long is it going to take you? Took him 3 days, maybe because he wasn't expecting what he heard. Maybe he wasn't keeping himself built up. I don't know. But 3 days with his healing scriptures, feeding his spirit, with his healing videos, he said you got three gates. You got an eye gate, you got an ear gate, and you got a mouth gate. You see, it gets in the heart. You hear, it gets in the heart. What gets in the heart, the mouth gate comes into play, and you speak it out. 3 days, he jumped up and he said he ripped his shirt off. Because he was in the Spirit, he didn't realize what was happening. And he went, I'm healed. Went back to the doctor and he made him test him. And the doctor says, I do not understand it. You are completely, there's nothing here. He goes, I know the system and I applied it. He knew how to walk in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that he was freed from the law of sin and death. And that includes that big nasty C word. Because all it is a word. I said all it is a word. Unless you let it materialize. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Everybody say this, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Do you? Why are you righteous?
Because
you're holy and pure?
No.
No, because Christ Jesus gave you his righteousness. That's why.
Yes.
Oh, the religious folks love that. When I look at them and say, I'm righteous. Boy, you're bold. Yeah. In Christ I am. Because I know who I am in Christ. I know what he's done for me. And I know what he still has to do for me. Except that he's already done it. He just hasn't let me see what it is. See, everything he's done for me is done. I just don't know all of it yet. I only know in part. See, I didn't know I was going to do the service today. Where's Brother Shane? Oh, he's down in the classroom. Brother Shane Schmidt comes up to me out here in the parking lot, and he goes, what's up? I go, well, we ain't got a janitor yet. He goes, well, we'll have service out here. I says, good, brother, I'll preach, and you lead worship a cappella. I had no idea Pastor Don wasn't coming. So I got what I spoke. Amen? Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Notice it said, but if. Why is there a question there? But if. Because it's your part of the deal to make sure that the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. God is not going to force himself on anybody. You've got to receive it. That's why it says, but if. Because the people out there in the world that haven't received Christ don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. They don't have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in them. They don't have the option of walking in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus until they finally wake up, finally listen to God talking to them and tugging on their heart and give their life to Jesus. Once they give their life to Jesus, they've got the same Spirit we've got.
Amen.
They're our neighbor. They're our brother. They're our sister. You know? And God's a God of all flesh. He loves them. I said that when I was opening this morning. He loves all flesh. But he wants them to come to him. He wants them to recognize him as their sovereign creator. He wants them to let him lead and guide their life. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will function within your mortal body to create life to a body that was declared dead according to the law of sin and death. A greater law will take effect in your life and overpower the law of sin and death.
Amen. 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 Yes, yes, sir.
And you will walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I don't do those confessions just to do them. I'm trying to instill in you how to walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I want you to see and understand what you need to do to walk that same way. And the only way I know how to do it without having each of you come over to my house and sit you down and talk to you one-on-one is to do a confession. Confessions are good anyways. You know, whatever you speak, it becomes, according to the law of physics, that sound leaves your mouth and will travel basically for eternity if it were in a vacuum. The word says it will accomplish that for which it was sent. It's like a bullet. The projectile part of the bullet can't do anything on its own. That's a word. But when you put it in a gun behind gunpowder and you fire it, now it's a projectile going forth. The spoken word you speak is a projectile empowered by your faith going forth to accomplish that for which you spoke it. So you need to be careful what you speak. If you're believing God for something and you just prayed for it and you turn around and kill it with what you just say. I've caught myself doing it. Come on. It's easy. You have to remember to always fortify what you've spoken that you want, what you've asked for in prayer. You know, if you've asked God to help you find a house, for instance, in prayer, you got to not say, I'm never going to find a house. You just killed. That's like a farmer going out planting seed. He gets up about this tall and he takes a hole. Oh, that's not what I wanted. Duh, farmers don't do that. They let their stuff grow. They fortify it. They fertilize it. They remove the stuff which deters it, the weeds around them. I know I've walked many a corn row with my grandfather in a hoe by hand, and hoeing the corn. When it got too tall for him to use the tractor, we did it by hand. That's how I spent my summers when I was growing up. My grandfather always had a good corn harvest. It was field corn that was grown to feed animals, but he always had a good harvest. You could hardly find a weed in that field, even at harvest time. I know why. We were down there hoeing it out. You know? We were not sending forth something that would kill the corn. Right. Same thing with your words you speak. Yes, right. If you want to give life to your mortal body, you've got to walk in the Spirit. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3. Just a little exhortation. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you, verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? How did you receive the Spirit of Christ? By faith, by being born again. Had nothing to do with the law, right? So he's asking the Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or did you receive it by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now being made perfect by the flesh? The flesh cannot make you perfect. The flesh is under the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death has one purpose: to take you out. It's a tool of the devil, and it draws its power from the devil, not from God. God's power has been removed when Adam sinned. And the power of the devil created the law of sin and death. Why do you think the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has more power? It's from God. But because we are flesh creatures, because we were born with the inherited sin nature, or some people call it the embedded sin nature, through our DNA, I really don't understand how DNA could carry a sin nature, but it does. Well, it carries everything you are, so I guess, yes, it could. It makes you think the way you think. It makes you feel the way you feel. It makes you walk the way you walk, talk the way you talk. So, yeah, the embedded sin nature is of the devil. So every time you get up from under the Spirit of the law of law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and walk in the flesh, you're giving place, whether you know it or not, you're giving place to the devil for his law to work in your life. And trust me, that's what he wants. He wants his law to work in your life. So how many of us are going to go out of here today and go home and feed your spirit first before you go to lunch? I didn't see any. Really, my hand shouldn't be up because I'm going to go eat first. But, believe it or not, I can feed my spirit on the way there. All I got to do is pray in tongues. What does it say in Jude 20? Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. It's like a battery. If you don't periodically charge a battery, eventually they go dead. If you don't periodically charge your spirit man, eventually it kind of dies. Well, I don't want my spirit man to die. I want to be able to walk continually in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Stand to your feet. I don't know where that came from. Praise God, He's good. When I told Pastor Carolyn I had something, I had some notes from something, but it wasn't that. He spoke to me, he says, I don't want you to do that, I want you to do this. Praise God. God is good, amen. Well, while I got you standing, let's do the announcements, amen.